Welcome and thank you for listening online. My name is Zandre. I'm the lead elder of Crowded House Windhoek by the will of God, and it's my prayer that this message speaks to your heart just as God intends. May it bring encouragement, challenge, and a deeper awareness of His presence in your life.
Amen. So what I think the title of the preach is A Doctor a Day Keeps the Apple Away. Yeah, Timmy is nodding as if I said it right. Yeah. And it's really this. It's, imagine Eve taking that apple off the tree, eating it, and now Adam's eating it. And now we sit with the repercussions of sin in our lives. Can we put that apple back? Well, let's explore that. Let's forget what you just said. That you said no. Let's say we can put it back. Let's rather ask, how would we go about by trying to put that apple back on the tree? How you guys are like. What was the apple? The apple was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the lie that enticed Eve to eat from it was, you will be like God. So there's something of a prideful desire there. So the apple is definitely pride. But pride manifesting in which way? The knowledge of good and evil. You want to know so that you don't have to trust the Holy Spirit. Right, this is where why I teed up the thing of collocation. Let's try it again. So we have a noun, and it often goes with a verb. A battle gets fought. Fought with an F. So what about a thought? What does the thought do? What's the verb for a thought? Huh? You think a thought? You thunk a thought? Kaylee, come on, help us out. Sorry? That's not too scriptural. We're not there yet. Have you guys never heard someone say, a thought came to me? Sorry? Oh, you can implement it, but my thoughts come to you. Have you heard someone say, a thought has crossed my mind? Even language tells you that the thought is outside of you. You go and go find it in yourself. Eve's desire was to go and eat the apple to get the answer in herself. There's a pridefulness that we want to know. Why do you think it's so lacquer to... The best-selling books, 7 Steps To, 10 Steps To. You want to know the way. You want the answers in you so that you can follow it. But even language tells you the answer is not in you. And the scriptural answer is the answer is not in you. It's in the Holy Spirit. So how do we put the apple back onto the tree? Must I tell you the answer? You must listen carefully. The answer is, I don't know. They're not catching it yet, huh? You're getting it. I'm just going to say it again until they catch it. The answer is, I don't know. The answer is saying, I don't know. If somebody asks you, if you're in a challenging situation, if you're being tested at work, and you want to go into the first thing, because you know what to do, it's a much better ask posture to say, I don't know. You acknowledge the answer is not in you. So actually, I know what the answer is, but I didn't get this by reading it up somewhere. I got it from the Holy Spirit. The answer is having a posture of humility, saying, I don't know. Now you can add a tagline to that and saying, but my Father in heaven does. So I'm going to go ask him. Rehabim shared in the week that often in a work situation, he's dealing with union stuff and labor disputes and, oh, it's intense stuff, eh? And then he's chairing a meeting. And then it's like at the tense moment, they're like, so what are we going to do? He says, I'm going to go pray about it. And I think you rattle so many people when you do that. But I love the heart's posture in that, because you're saying at that moment, you don't know. But the answer is out of you, outside of you. And you'll go find it by yielding yourself to the Spirit and asking God to reveal it to you by His Spirit. So that's how we put the apple back onto the tree. If you can, please don't go read up theologically if this is possible or not. This is just a heart posture. I don't know if this is just what the Spirit's telling me. And in John 15, we see this beautiful effort that, this beautiful picture that, it's the scripture that says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you are in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And just like the vine in its nature was a laying down of its will, this is how we enter the vine as well, by laying down our will, by saying, the answer is not in me. I'm going to go into the vine. And then know this, and maybe even for those that's being prayed in today, and maybe those that have a desire, fruitfulness flows from belonging. You don't serve and perform to get part of the body. You don't serve and perform to be a son in the household of God. You're a son in the household of God because God said so. Because God, by His grace, gave us that opportunity. And then fruitfulness, when we are in Him, flows from that. So what blocks that? Back to the apple. Pride. A desire to know. So what I want to look at is four steps to be prideful. But I want to echo that in how that stops the work of the Holy Spirit into your life. Right? And so the four works of the Holy Spirit that I'm really looking at today, that I would love for you to go take before the Lord, because I think we must all have a heart posture to say, Lord, by your Spirit, come and do this in my heart, is RCDE. Oh, yeah, RCDE. That's the four things. No, it's just letters, man. R is revelation, C is conviction, D is deliverance, and E is empowerment. RCDE, four works from the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be prideful, blocking revelation in your life, you must make as if you know the answer already. If you know the answer already, God's not going to give you revelation by His Spirit. Make as if you have the answer already. Or if you have the knowledge already, then the answer won't come to you from the Holy Spirit. So that's R, step number one, to be prideful. Number two, for conviction, if you want to block conviction in your life by pride, make as if you always do the right thing. Make as if you always do it the right way. Make as if you've winged it enough in life to always, for it always to work out for you. Maybe by luck, maybe by your prideful reliance on your skill, you can always say, I don't have to prepare, I can just go into it. Because me, what's in me, will get me through. Make as if you always follow the right path. Then the Holy Spirit will not come and correct you by conviction. Gentle nudge to get you onto the right path. Number three, D. For deliverance. Tell yourself you never want to change because you're good enough already. It's hard to be prideful. Make as if everything you have in you already is the truth. Then you'll be blinded to the lies that are keeping you back. All that deliverance is when a lie gets replaced by the truth. But this lie, now be careful for pride again, because you might think, oh, that makes sense what he's saying. I don't believe lies, but we do believe lies, guys. We need the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate it, to show us that lie, and at the same moment, show us the truth. And this is why spending time in the Word is so important, because if you're filled with the truth, the Lord can easily say, remember that what you read there? Yeah, you're not doing it. You're like, oh, my word. I've been doing this my whole life. And then you get delivered from a lie, a bondage in your life. But if you make as if you don't need to change, then you'll resist the work of the Spirit. So I said E, it can also be P, because E is for empowerment or just power, right? And so how to be prideful and to block the Spirit's power in your life is make as if you already have all that you need. If you have a heart posture of saying, I don't need anything because I think what's in me is good enough, then I'll not be open to what the Spirit has for me. And the Spirit has for you something that's not in you, that doesn't look like the way you think it looks, because if it did look that way, then pride would not be a problem. Pride, on this point, will also render you from not asking. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Knock and it will be open. There's one third one that he says there. Seek and you'll find. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit there. There's a heart posture that you must have saying, I don't know. The answer is not within me. I tend to go on the wrong path. I tend to believe lies when they are there and I don't realize it. I tend to fall short when something needs to happen. I cannot do it. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. This is a scripture that Andre referenced last week. Is God resists the prideful, but he gives grace to those who are humble. And I can tell you this, if you have pride in your life, God will not only resist you, like the picture was in a fist fight, but he will resist the Spirit from flowing into each of those areas in your life where you'll not receive revelation, you'll be close to conviction, you'll not receive deliverance, and you'll not walk in power. But if we yield ourselves to him, I'm at the end of my notes where it got very confusing. Oh yeah, so an apple a day, that's what we're talking about. So the world says an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now that's an idiom, a gesegde, that just means eat healthy and you will not need a medical doctor, right? So we're changing it around because we're talking about the apple in the Garden of Eden. A doctor a day keeps the apple away. And if you recognize that in this analogy, the doctor is the Holy Spirit. What does a doctor do? A doctor tells you what's wrong with you. When we're sick, we find to go to a doctor and say, tell me what's wrong with me. But in life, that's not a lack of thing. If Richard comes to me and says, man, I see something in your life that's wrong there. And just like a doctor tells you what's wrong with you, hopefully if he's a good doctor, he tells you how to fix it as well. Tells you what treatment's needed. So it immediately shows you the problem, but he gives you hope as well. Now the Holy Spirit does exactly the same. That's conviction, guys. Conviction is this sin is in your life. But at the same time, there's hope. If you recognize it, if you are soft and soft to receive it, if you're too soft to receive this conviction and confess it and repent about it, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But you will not confess if you've not been convicted. And if that conviction comes, and you're like, it's the lacquer, I'm still going to do it. Or the conviction is not lacquer, because I can tell you the conviction is not always lacquer. And sometimes the treatment of a doctor is also not lacquer. The specific treatment, but we must acknowledge that we need it. Because I'm not trying to be like myself. I'm trying to change. Die to myself and become more like Christ. Because the answer is not in me. There's a scripture, John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Or just some of it. All the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he has, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So in RCDP or RCDE or all this, all that you need to know is it's the Spirit of truth. Revelation is when we have a heart posture of I know nothing and I get the answer. From nothing into something is revelation. Now be careful there that pride doesn't trip you up thereafter where you make as if the answers and you give glory to God when you get revelation. Maybe a beautiful scripture for revelation is Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Oh, such a beautiful scripture. It says, call to me, God promising to Jeremiah, if you call to me, I will answer you. How beautiful is that? Lord, give us a faith to believe that truth that's there. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Even scripture tells us the answer is not in you. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians 1 verse 17, most beautiful prayer. Let's pray it all together in our hearts even as we read it. That God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. God is so vastly outside of us. We can't figure Him out with our brain and our intellect and reading it in the Bible and having knowledge and history. We must come to a place where you say, Lord, I need revelation of who you are so that I can grow in the knowledge of who you are. So from being maybe blind to seeing is revelation. For see, conviction. John 16, verse 8 to 11. And when He comes, speaking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, recognize there. Conviction about sin is quite self-evident, right? Aren't you? If you have sin and you're not realizing it, you need the Holy Spirit to come convict you. Now, maybe let me say this also. Do I hear the Holy Spirit alone for this church? Not at all. Not at all. Do I hear the Holy Spirit alone for myself? So if I'm missing it, and Joel hears it and brings it to me, it's still the Holy Spirit saying it to me. Be careful on how you receive encouragement and rebuking and correction from other people, because it might be the Spirit speaking through them to you as well. Right? It's concerning sin. We're on the wrong path and we need to turn back because of sin. But it also brings conviction of what righteousness is at the same time. It's not just this is wrong, but it's also this is right. So we get a realignment. And it also shows us at the same time the Holy Spirit gives us a revelation of what the effect of that sin would be if we stay on that path. Judgment. And so that's really the choice. Is if you have conviction, soften your heart. Because the Lord will allow you, if you say no thank you, He will leave you there. And then deliverance is where a lie gets replaced by a truth, where we get broken free from the chains that's been keeping us back. A picture that in some time of prayer with a couple of people that came up, and even in my time of preparation, instead of chains, it was this little fly that wants to get to the light. So you, the fly, in this analogy, right? Sorry, I'm speaking in pictures today. And it's flying to the light there, and the light is obviously God. And it's flying. And it hits a spider web. And it's like, I still want to get to the light. So it's going forward. Now, maybe it can fly strong enough that it's going to break free, but generally not. So at some stage, all its efforts going forward is going to tire it out, and it's going to hang just there. And maybe you felt there. And actually what the Spirit does, very skillfully, like with a doctor's scalpel knife, yeah? How do you say it? Scalpel. Scarp mess. He says, maybe let's turn our efforts, you're still going there, but to go forward, you need to look back and to see what's holding you back and cut it off. A lot less effort. Sharp cut, because that's what the Spirit does. Then we get free. And then, the last one, empowerment by the Holy Spirit. A lot of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is, you will receive power. Now, you can be satisfied with the power that's in you, or you can say, Jesus, I need you. That was the last song that we were singing, huh? Jesus, I need you. And this is when the truth becomes our identity. This is what we walk in. This is when the truth overflows from us and to others. where we can not just be sons in the household of God, sons and daughters in the household, but we can actually be witnesses to go out and to tell people about Jesus and reflect who he is. I have two scriptures. I'm not sure if they're still going to tie in because I wrote the references down without what they say. Let's take a chance that they're there for a reason. Let's see what Galatians 2 verse 20 says. Oh yeah, that's good. So as we do this, if our heart's posture in all these things is yielded, where we say the answer is not in me, I need to go get the answer out. And often I get it wrong and I need correction. And often there's things that hold me back and I need to realign with the truth. And even in that place, I still need more power from him, from outside and not from inside. In all this, it's no longer I who live. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Maybe let's close there in prayer and then I give over. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we recognize that from the beginning of creation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you were there together, three in one. And Lord, may we be yielded to you in all we do. May we no longer eat from what we think right and wrong is, Lord. But may we come to a place and say, we don't know. Lord, you know. Tell us. May we follow your truth, your spirit of truth in all these areas. Lord, may you bring back to each one sitting here, Lord, your spirit of revelation. Will you show them things that are hidden? Lord, will you correct them, Lord, lovingly and gracefully, Lord, as only you can, from the false that's in their lives, Lord, to come again back in alignment with truth. And may you set them free from the bondages that's keeping them back, Lord. And Lord, may we be those that walk in power, empowered by your Spirit, Lord, to be your witnesses, a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today's message spoke to you, don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with someone who needs encouragement. And take a moment to reflect and ask God how you can respond in obedience this week.